What's up, everyone? Matt here with Down Once More. It is the final week of March. We are on our final episode of March. And this week, we got another mini episode for you. I'm going to be giving a review. I saw the Neil Berg's 100 Years of Broadway concert tour that's going on. I saw that this past week. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit, do a little review on that, and then have a few other mini musical news updates, things going on in the world right now that will follow at the end. And then next week, if everything goes according to plan, I will have Brad back here and we are going to review Matilda the Musical, which is streaming on Netflix. So let's get into it. Neil Berg's 100 Years of Broadway. It has been going on for over 16 years and they've been doing 100 shows, at least 100 shows a year during that time, which is insane. This is something I didn't know about. I would not have known about if it wasn't coming to my area, coming to the same theater that I have my season tickets for. This was an add-on for it. And so I'm like, you know what? I need to expand my Broadway musical horizons. I have a podcast about musical, for God's sake. So I need to educate myself because a lot of my musical knowledge is I've got the ones I grew up on. So like Sound of Music, Mary Poppins, Fiddler on the Roof was there, not as prevalent, but that was one. And then, of course, the Disney musicals, the animated kids movies, and then some random ones, Phantom of the Opera thrown in there. And then I started discovering some newer ones on my own as I got older. So a lot of what I gravitate towards are the more modern musicals, the 90s and above, which I figured that was not going to be the main subject of this tour. And I was correct. So went with my wife. I would say we were probably in the youngest 5% there. I would say the average age was probably 60 or higher. So definitely in the minority, but it was a great show. I didn't know what to expect going into it. Neil Berg hosted the show. He gave a lot of history before each song, each performance that would go on. And I'm not going to spoil everything that they did. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the songs they performed, some of the stories they told, but I'm not going to give the entire set list because that's no fun. If you want to go see it yourself, I'm sure you can Google it and find it if you want. The setup for it, Neil Berg at the piano with the microphone, and then the accompanying instruments there. He had a drum kit and playing. That was Roger Cohen. And then we had Abraham Sands on, he was the bassist on the bass guitar. So that was it. We had a three-piece band for it, which kind of made me nervous before we were going in. I'm like, we're performing a bunch of Broadway songs here, which a lot of what kind of gives them the gravity sometimes is the orchestra, that music, everything going on there. But I will say, with a few exceptions, they were able to encapsulate this music and just capture the heart of it really well. Now, along with the instruments, what you need are the voices, the ones performing the Broadway songs. And there were four Broadway talents that performed. There was Carter Calvert, and none of these were names that I was familiar with before, but they have a long Broadway and Broadway touring history. First, like I said, Carter Calvert. She had originated the role in Tony-nominated play It Ain't Nothing But the Blues, which I'm not familiar with at all. Plead ignorance on that one. But one of the other roles that she had was Grisabella in Cats on the national tour. And we were able to see notes of that when she performed Memory, which was one of my favorite performances, and it was so powerful. And you can see why she held that role, and she absolutely crushed it. So Carter Calvert was number one. Number two, we had Rita Harvey, who was also Neil Berg's wife. Rita Harvey, one of her most famous roles is she played Christine Daae in the Phantom of the Opera on Broadway for 5 years. I also played Christine in a national tour, has been Hodel in Fiddler on the Roof, and a number of other performances. All of these, they've got huge resumes, and so everyone extremely talented. Then we had Rob Evan, and he had been a vocalist in the Trans-Siberian Orchestra for a while formerly. He also was the lead role in the original Broadway cast of Jekyll and Hyde, which was not a musical that I was familiar with. But he performed one of the main songs from there, and it was absolutely great. And so I'm going to be doing some more research on that musical just because I'm curious, and I'm always looking for new things. He also had played Jean Valjean on Broadway at a time, and so he absolutely fantastic voice. He crushed his roles. And then rounding out the Broadway singers was Danny Zolli. And Danny Zolli was the one that he gave my favorite performance of the night, which was Heaven on Their Mind from Jesus Christ Superstar. If you've been listening to the podcast, watching the podcast, however you choose to consume it, recently, I've been, since seeing the Jesus Christ Superstar anniversary tour, I have been kind of obsessed with Jesus Christ Superstar. The performances in it, the songs, the music, everything. And so he absolutely crushed that. And he is most known for his roles in Jesus Christ Superstar. And according to what Neil Berg said in his bio, that he has a record number of performances in this show. He's done over more than 26 productions of Jesus Christ Superstar over his time, both and played primarily Annas, Judas, and Jesus. So Danny Zolli, fantastic. One of the most entertaining performances was him singing a song from Jersey Boys. And you'll have to forgive me because I have not seen the musical and I do not listen to that genre of music very much. It was the Sherry Baby song that he sings extremely high, but it was great. It was a great performance. And and Neil Berg, I should talk a little bit about him and his resume. So he's a composer, co-lyricist. He's currently a show that they're working on that's in pre-Broadway tryout. They're trying to get moved to Broadway. It's called The 12. He worked on that with Robert Schenken. And then he's also in development on a My Cousin Vinny musical, which could be very interesting. He'd also worked on the Grumpy Old Men musical and adaptation, which I know nothing about. And I think it's very interesting. It seems like something he's working on now is taking classic movies and working on turning them into musicals, which I'm all for. We've had seen a big kind of surge of that recently. We've got Back to the Future as a musical now. I mean, you've seen it for a while, but like Heathers was turned into a musical. Mean Girls was turned into a musical. All sorts of things. So Neil Berg, very entertaining. Like as a host of this show and producer of this show, what happened anytime a song came on, he introduced who's going to be singing it. And he gave some history. He spent a lot of time talking about the history of Broadway in general. We're talking about starting from like the 30s and 40s. I would say the majority of the show were from shows that took place between the 40s and 70s. For the most part, it was kind of the sweet spot there. A lot of the classic Broadway songs. So we're getting songs from Guys and Dolls. We're getting songs from a bunch of Rodgers and Hammerstein's one. We're having Oklahoma, songs from My Fair Lady, songs from, there were songs from Les Mis, which I know is not 40s to 60s. That's a little bit more modern, but it was a great show. Like we got Cabaret, Chicago, Man of La Mancha, which I had not been aware of this musical. I know that's showing a lot of my ignorance. And Neil was talking and he was saying that his father hated Broadway musicals. The one musical they had the exemption for was Man of La Mancha. And Rob Evan and Danny Zolli sang the title song of that, Man of La Mancha. And then Rob Evan sang another one about just dreaming that was a great song that I was also not aware of. So this is another musical. So basically what I took away from the show is I have a lot of homework to do on musicals in general. Now, like I said, and then the most modern one, they performed a song from Hamilton. They had Rob Evan did You'll Be Back. So that was kind of neat to see. We're going to some of the modern ones too. So we had Rent on there too. But I really enjoyed myself. The show was a little over 2 hours long, about 2.5 hours long, including the intermission, and rotating cast are in. They sing all four of them together. A lot of times it was just one person highlighting certain songs or doing a tribute of a particular movie, whether it be West Side Story, where they kind of did like, I can't think of the word right now, but like medley That's the word I was looking for. They do a medley of songs from the show, or a medley of songs by this performer, like a Judy Garland tribute. So a lot of great songs, a lot of great voices, and just a great time overall. Like I said, the majority of the music is not my typical genre of musical that I prefer listening to. So it's not, I don't know if I would have seen the full set list just looking at it on a sheet, if it's something that I would have said, I want to make it a point to go to this. So I'm glad I kind of said, hey, I'm going to give it a shot, get the tickets and go expose myself to this genre of music, to be clear, and just have a good time and enjoy it for what it is. And I really did. All four of these performers had fantastic voices. Like I said, Danny Zolli was a standout. Carter Calvert, her performance of Memory was fantastic. And then Rita Harvey, her singing, she sang Think of Me from Phantom of the Opera, so Christine's aria, and that was fantastic. And then Rob Evan, I would say my favorite performance from his, and I had to look it up because I knew it had the song title in here, and I apologize, I did not do it. But the Jekyll and Hyde song was This Is the Moment, and his performance of that was so good. And like I said, it made me want to go learn more about that musical and look into it. So the entire, like I said, Neil Berg on the piano. I was worried on some of Jesus Christ Superstar, especially because the rock music in that, the guitar, everything just really makes that bigger than what it is. But man, with the drum kit, the bass, and the piano, they were able to just, I don't know, it did not sound that much different, which is crazy to say. And like I said, Danny Zolli's vocal performance, maybe the best performance of that song that I have heard from all the movies and the live tour that I saw. He was absolutely fantastic and crushed it. So this, like I said, this show has been touring for over 16 years that they're doing this, different shows. There's been different talent over the years, of course, but Rob Evans been on it fairly steadily, it looked like. My assumption would be Rita Harvey has been on it fairly steadily because she's Neil Berg's wife. And then Carter Calvert is also married to the percussionist, to Roger Cohen. So if you have a chance to see it, very reasonable tickets, like not typical Broadway prices for this, because it's a concert, it's a show. You're sitting there, you're listening. There's not big stage production value. There's not big dance numbers or anything like that. You're going there for the music, the voices, and a bit of a history lesson. And I thought that was great. So if you have a chance, if you're interested in Broadway at all, even if you're just familiar with the modern one, expand your horizons, go check out this show. It is touring. Go to the website. You can Google it. I don't know what the website is, but Google it. It's going on. So now a little bit of musical news. Another thing, if you're getting rewarded, if you've listened to this podcast for a long time, starting in year one, I've been talking about In the Light, A Faustian Tale, written by Michael Mott and his team. He's doing all the music, lyrics, everything for that. One of my favorite concept albums, really, because it hasn't had any productions. It stars Jeremy Jordan, Antonio Cipriano, Sierra Renee, Celia Pfeiffer, all sorts of amazing talent worked to record the selection preview album, whatever you want to call it, with Michael Mott. And it's one of my favorite, as a whole, musical albums out there. Michael Mott has been posted on Twitter recently that they were working on kind of reworking the show because it's a huge, expensive production for how they had it conceptualized. And just hard to do. Those big, like, show-stopping, big, large-scale musicals aren't happening as much on Broadway anymore. Well, they announced recently that this has now, In the Light, their reworked version of it, is part of the Broadway Workroom series that's being put on by the Stage Door Foundation and Open Jar Studios in Broadway. And so what it is they provide a space for creative teams to work on their production. So free studio space, technical support, things like that. The Stage Door and Open Jar Studios do. And so they give them a week on development, and then they have a kind of reading performance of it open for the public at no cost, they have free will donation to it, to experience the new musicals in like a concert setting. So In the Light is going to be doing the performances April 26th through 28th. And I really wish I didn't have as much shit going on as I did, because otherwise I would be taking my first trip ever to New York to see this production happen, because I have been obsessed with this musical and I'm really bummed that I can't make it happen with work and just everything else going on. But if you are in and around or around New York, or you're like, you know what, I just have so much disposable income right now that I can just afford to go buy a plane ticket and go to New York on a whim with less than a month's notice, tickets are still available from what I can see. So go to Michael Mott on Twitter, Instagram, or In the Light on Twitter and Instagram. They have it linked where you can get tickets. But basically, it's www.stagedoor.org/Broadway-workroom. And you can find the schedule for all of them on there. So if anyone goes, comment on here. Maybe I'll use this as a plug to try to finally get Michael Ma on the podcast to talk about this, because this is very exciting that this is happening. And like I said, I wish I could be there because I love this album. And they haven't announced the cast who's going to be performing it yet at that production. So I'll be interested to see who they get pulled into there. It's going to be fantastic. Michael Ma has a really good eye and ear for talent from the people he's collabed with and done production. So excited to see that. Other musical news, Variety posted recently this past week that Joker Folie à Deux, which is the sequel to Todd Phillips, director of The Hangover, his award-winning Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix. The sequel stars Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn. And so Variety reported this past week that it is going to, because there's been reports for a while that's going to be a musical. Then people are like, well, it's not really a musical. Now the reports are from people who have seen like early screens and close to the production is that it's going to be a jukebox musical, which we've talked about on here sometimes before. But for those of you who haven't heard, or you're not too familiar with some of the musical vernacular, a jukebox musical means you're taking songs that were created for other things and you're incorporating into it. You're essentially doing covers of songs in the musical. Moulin Rouge, jukebox musical. Jersey Boys, jukebox musical. The Cher Show, which is my next show I have going on in my Broadway shows at the theater, jukebox musical. So they said there will be, I think they said at least 15 different reinterpretations of songs, and they said they are very well-known songs, popular songs, and then there might be some original music in there. So I don't know what to think about this. I think it's going to be wild where they go with this, because obviously the original Joker movie, if you saw it, non-traditional comic book movie, it is a dark drama. It is more a study on the person and the psyche. And so I'm going to be very curious. I'm all for wild swings in movies in general. Give us something original. You're incorporating music into it, I'm all in. So we'll see how that is. Lady Gaga, fantastic singer. Joaquin Phoenix, he played Johnny Cash, Walk the Line. Pretty solid in there. Got a decent voice on him too. So we'll see what happens with that. Last musical related thing I'll talk about is I've done a couple mini reviews and talks about the Mean Girls musical movie that is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Hannah Bales, who is one of my favorite YouTube channels, she's a voice teacher. She does reactions to videos, discusses them, reacts to musical movies, things like that. She put out on YouTube like a 45 minute video for reaction to the Mean Girls movie, and she put into words a lot more succinctly and with a lot more musical verbiage and know-how a lot of the things that I had echoed when I did my mini review of Mean Girls, the musical movie, and does a lot of the breakdowns with it. She's got the clips in there next to it, so you can see the comparisons, talking about how some of it's just the energy is sucked from it. And like I said, ultimately in my mini review of that, what I said is I did not know who this movie was for. They shun a lot of the musical theater vibes of it and arrangements of the song. So people who are fans of the musical itself, musical theater, are going to be let down and disappointed. And then people who are fans of the original movie, I don't think it does enough to reinvent it, make it more exciting. And the songs aren't, a lot of the songs, I should say, not all the songs, some of the songs will blow you away. Most of them aren't ones that if you're not a musical person that you're going to give a shit about. So Hannah Bales' review, she's got, gets millions of views on everything, so she doesn't need my plug. But check it out. She's a fun follow. Her Patreon, she does extended versions of things. She has a secondary channel where she does drunk book reviews, which is very entertaining. So shout out Hannah Bales. Go give her a follow. And then my last thing I'm going to do is just vent for a minute, because I'm on this podcast and I have a mic in front of me, so what the hell, I'm going to vent. I recently, and by recently I mean finished it today, I've been trying to watch it over a course of a week, finished the 2016 version of the remake of Ben-Hur, which there have been plenty of older versions of Ben-Hur, but the classic one that most people know is the 1959 version with Charlton Heston. It's based on a book. It's like a huge biblical epic, and intermixed is the story of Jesus with it. This 2016 version with Jack Huston, or Huston, however you pronounce his name, apologies, and Toby Kebbell, so bad. It just sucked all the heart and soul out of that original version, the Charlton Heston classic, which, yes, that's like a 3.5 hour movie. And this movie is just a little over 2 hours. But it just sucked all the heart and soul out of it. It seemed like they completely missed the point of the story. Just wanted to focus more on the action and violence, which, yeah, there's some of that in here, but that's not the main point of this story. And they just, like, cut the legs out from under them and all the emotional beats of it. So, very disappointed. Maybe one of the most unnecessary and worst remakes I've ever seen. Morgan Freeman's character and his arc in there, very unnecessary, and seemed like we just need to throw a name in here. So, and I'm not even going to get into all the other just random menial bullshit changes they made to it. It was bad. Do not waste your time on it. It's awful. It's awful. So, I've said last thing multiple times. This is going to be the official closeout sign-off. That's going to do it for this episode. I do want to give a shout-out. I know I've been talking about it the last few weeks. So it's like, get over it. Stop being so obsessed with it. But my review of the Shrek national tour has now, well, as I'm recording this, has like 997 views. So unless it just all of a sudden drops off, it'll probably break 1,000 views, which is something I'm really excited about. I know it's because I got lucky and I saw it on the second performance of the tour. So if people are going to look at reviews on it, there probably weren't a ton out there, and I know it's like catching lightning in the bottle once. It's not going to happen again. That's not the trend. The videos since then, one has like 7 views and one has 11. So, hey, sometimes you just got to get lucky. But I'm not going to get into all the details. But this last month has been one of the hardest months that I've dealt with in my life for a number of different reasons. But that video kind of taking off, seeing the reaction to that. I don't know. It's been something that has been a bright spot and kind of a pick me up for me which is kind of stupid. I'm that so self-obsessed with it, but it's something that's exciting to me when I haven't been seeing a lot of positive things going on. And so I think it's really awesome. So just thank you everyone who watches, listens, follows, subscribes, comments, interacts. You guys rock. It's been a huge pick-me-up, and like this podcast, recording it, putting it out there, is something that I've been still looking forward to and enjoying doing, even when things have been shit lately. So shout out you all. Appreciate you all. Thank you. Love you. Stay tuned next week, hopefully, for the Matilda the Musical review. And don't forget, go down once more. Later. What's up, everyone? Matt here with Down Once More. It is the final week of March and the final episode of March. And so what we've got for you today is, Jesus Christ. It's not what we have for you today. That's Easter, so I'm next week.